The Lord be with you.
Yes.
May the word of God be on my mind, on my lips, in my heart. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it's good that we're here. Let us make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. So while he was speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. My brothers and sisters, the gospel of the Lord. Many of you, I'm sure, are aware of Thomas Merton. If you haven't, I recommend that you look him up. He was a Trappist monk who lived back and died in the 60s. And a prolific writer, great insights, a mystic. And he was in a monastery called Gethsemane outside of Louisville, Kentucky. And one day, you know, the Trappists lived a very austere life. I mean, they were probably the harshest life that one can live as a religious. I think they took the gospel a little bit too serious. I mean, they slept on nails, I guess. And anyways, he was in Louisville one day when a transfiguration hit him, and the city seemed to glow, the whole city. And this is what he wrote. He says, "There's no way of telling people that they're walking around shining like the sun. There are no strangers. The gate of heaven is everywhere." You know, sometimes when we least expect it, God opens the eyes of our heart, of our soul, and we too behold the divine within and around us. It wasn't Jesus who was transfigured that day on the mountain. Like Merton, it was the apostles who were. For just a moment, a split second perhaps, they saw beyond appearances to the life and to the truth and to the beauty that are really there. They were told they saw his glory, the divine spirit permeating his entire being, so much so that his clothes were shining white. You see, transfiguration-like beauty is in the eye of the beholder. My go-to mystic, Meister Eckhart, a Dominican of the 13th century, he puts it this way. He says, "We see God with the same eye that God sees us." Here's one to take home. We see God with the same eye that God sees us. The apostles were blessed with a moment of seeing that comes from within. At one time or another, it comes to everyone. Hopefully it's come to you. And it may happen just once in your life, but it can last a lifetime. You see, transfiguration isn't a spectacular special effect, but rather it's an integral effect, a sweet glimpse of heaven that comes when we're not looking for it. I mean, I'm sure a lot of you, all of you, behold a baby sleeping, or an old person at peace, and you realize that there's more to heaven and earth that meets the eye. And for a moment, you understood that there are no strangers, that all of us somehow are mysteriously one. That's a transfiguration. Perhaps you've been reading spiritual books, especially during Lent, and you're reading a book and suddenly your eyes are wide open at a sight, an insight that you've never had before. And so the book falls from your hand and you're at peace. That's a transfiguration. Transfiguration is the opening of our everyday mind to the heaven that's already here. And that's what happened to the apostles. As dazzling as the telling of their story is, it is also what sometimes happens to us. And we can't make transfiguration happen. Jesus said that it is God living in us that makes it happen. Transfiguration is a grace that comes to us when we aren't looking for it, at the spot where we're standing and not the place where we want to be. And as I said, it lasts for perhaps just a moment, but it changes the way that we look at the world forever. Its memory is what keeps us going when the world becomes a dark place. When the world becomes dark, we remember. God is everywhere and in everyone and everything. And we stumble forward in the knowledge that despite all the appearances and everything that we hear about and see, that Christ is here, and Christ will come again. And we will see him in the most ordinary places. In the bread, in the wine, in the one next to us. Christ is embedded in all things, as all things. How many have seen the movie Field of Dreams? And remember the spirit of Ray Kinsella's dad. He asked his son, he says, "Is this heaven?" And the answer is, "No, this is Iowa." Iowa is everywhere. Transfiguration is the awareness that we live and move and have our being in God. It is knowing that we live in love. In the letter of John, it says, those who love live in God and God lives in them. Not those who practice one religion or another. No, those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. As spectacular as are the biblical tellings, transfigurations are normal events that are built into everyone's DNA. spiritual DNA, I should say. Again, Thomas Merton writes, he says, "Life is this simple. We are living in a world that is absolutely transparent, and the divine is shining through it all the time. This is not just a nice story or a fable. It's true." The storyteller in the gospel today tells us just as soon as the apostles see Jesus as he really is, Peter makes a big deal out of it. And he shouts, "Hey, let's make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And then what happens? The cloud comes over them. The vision vanishes as fast as it happened. You see, the apostles, we were told, were asleep. That means they were not in their God-groundedness, but rather they were asleep before they saw the Christ in Jesus. And then they slipped back into their fog as soon as they tried to freeze what they saw. You see, transfigurations are like that in our life. As soon as we try to capture it or control it in some way, a cloud comes. And once where we experience the divine glory, the Christ that is shining through all things and everyone, once we see it in David and in Jana and in the one you can name who you saw this light shining through them, or in something like the mountains, the Catalinas or the Rincons, or perhaps it was a sunset or a sunrise or just a flower. You see it for what it is in all of its glory, and then the vision vanishes. And they're back to being David, Jana, Catalinas. And then we drive around and we don't even notice the beauty around us and God shining through it and energizing it. Yeah, so, but don't worry, there's nobody to blame here. You see, blessings like thieves come in the middle of the night and just as quickly get chased away. As it was for the disciples, so it is for us. We simply move on with the memory in our heart and in our minds. And if we don't forget it, we will learn to see it again. And then a new memory will reinforce the previous one. Christ comes again and again and again. My brothers and sisters in Christ, you're more likely to experience a transfiguration in your life. You have a better chance, I would say, if you are grounded in God in prayer. Jesus could experience the Christ in everyone and everything because he was grounded in God by constant prayer. And that's what he's teaching the disciples in today's gospel, that they could stay awake if they grounded themselves in God through prayer. You know, I believe that a Christian is one who sees Christ in everything and in everyone. No one's excluded. Christ is not limited to Jesus. I mean, Christ and Jesus are not the same. Jesus is Christ, but Christ is more than Jesus. And this is a mistake that most Christians, unfortunately, have been taught and made. But rather, Christ is universal, is in all things. We live in a Christic world that is infused by God's Spirit from the very beginning of creation. God has been incarnating God's self in creation since the Big Bang. Incarnation didn't happen just once 2,000 years ago in the person of Jesus. That was a special incarnation. But God creates things so that God can love them. God created you so that he could love you. And hopefully you would love God back. I'll end with a question, which I sometimes do. You can think about this. But do you acknowledge that Jesus the Christ is really in you? I hope so. Because Christ must first of all be acknowledged within you before you can recognize him without. God must reveal God's self in you before God can fully reveal God's self to you. And like Jesus, you too are God's beloved. You're God's chosen ones. You're the body of Christ. And you are here to carry on the mission of Jesus, to reveal God's love in order to transform the world that God created. So stay awake. Ground yourself in God through prayer. And if you do, you will, like Jesus, recognize God's presence all around you and in everyone. Why? Because I think Merton is right. The gate of heaven is everywhere. Thank you.